Good to see everyone this evening. I'm going to title our lesson tonight, Let No One Deceive Himself. This morning in our lesson, we made mention of James chapter 1 and verse 22, where it says, Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And we made mention of the fact that when we hear God's word, we understand what it says. We might even believe what it says, but we fail to do what it says. It does not do us any good. To be advantageous to us, we must hear and do what God's word teaches us to do. And when we know God's will for us and we think that just knowing his will is enough, we deceive ourselves. Well, there's many passages that talk about the fact that we can deceive ourselves and various ways in which we can do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 18 through 23, it says, Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come. All things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Of course, if we were studying the 1 Corinthian letter here, we could see that this was the problem that Paul was addressing at Corinth, that people had started calling themselves after different teachers. And there were different teachers who were elevating themselves and promoting themselves. They came up with some particular vein of doctrine that was peculiar to them and not to anyone else, and most especially not peculiar to the gospel of Christ. They had perverted the gospel of Christ with their doctrines that they had come up with themselves. And so that's what he's talking about here. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, these false teachers, you might say this is kind of the beginning of denominationalism. That's what denominationalism is. People, they don't want to depart from Christ, but they don't want to practice the pure gospel of Christ. They want to add to it or take away from it. So they call themselves after these men or after these particular doctrines. To be wise, we must become fools. We must say, I don't know anything, Lord, teach me. And we go to his word for that teaching. The so-called wise will be caught in their own personal deceptions as well as their deceptions of others. We need to recognize that everything that God has given us, he has given us to enjoy and to rejoice in, and that we belong to Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 through 8, you find a very similar statement. Jeremiah says, Thus says the Lord, Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see the good when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from the yielding fruit. So we see that we deceive ourselves when we trust in men. Even today, you find that within congregations sometimes that, you know, an individual might be speaking something, teaching something that's not in alignment with the Word of God, but because you might like that person, or for whatever reason, you want to agree with them rather than the truth that might be being taught. So it's an age-old principle. We deceive ourselves when we are more interested in who is right than what is right. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with being interested in who is right as long as the who we're looking to is Almighty God and His Word as He has delivered it to us. When one changes the Word of God, he deceives himself and he deceives others. Men have repeatedly attempted to change God's Word. Isaiah 30 in verses 9 through 11 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the paths. Curse the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." We don't want to hear the truth. Don't tell us the truth. The truth condemns us. We don't want to hear that. Speak to us smooth things. Tell us we're good people. We're all right, and we're all going to be saved. But that's not the design of God's Word. God's Word is designed to convict us and to correct us and to lead us in the paths of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 3 through 4, just as in the times of Jeremiah, very similar to that, he says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and will be turned aside to fables." You know what a fable is? A fable is something, you know, it's a story somebody makes up. People are turned aside to the fables of men rather than the revealed truth of God's Word. The time will come. The time has come. And the time will continue to come. The people will not want to hear the truth, but would rather hear the deceptions and the lies. In the end, we will be judged by what is written in the books. Whether we want to hear them or not, we will. In Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open." That's these books, the 66 books of the Bible. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. Don't be deceived. Hear God's Word. Practice God's Word. Never try to change God's Word. When one minimizes their sin, they deceive themselves. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." I don't know if John is talking about the fact here that somebody says, "Well, I've never sinned," or "I don't sin." But I think he's more leaning to the fact that he doesn't recognize his sin as sin. If you don't recognize your sin as sin, then in your mind you haven't sinned. But you've deceived yourself. If God calls it a sin, it's a sin. Whether it was in the first century or the 21st century. It hasn't changed. Society changes, but God's Word hasn't changed. His standard of righteousness hasn't changed. It's still, you know, you don't open your Bible and say, "Oh, well, that's not what it said yesterday." God didn't change His Word. It's the same. It was as it was for them and as it is for us. We need to let God's word convict us of our sin and let God's word correct us and lead us in the paths of righteousness. When one thinks that God is like man, he deceives himself. Adam and Eve could hide from each other, so they thought they could hide from God. Psalm 50 in verse 21, we read, "These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." God says, "I saw your sin, but I kept silent. I didn't reach out in a thunderous expression from heaven to condemn you or destroy you. I kept silent. But my word was always before you. The truth was always in front of you. You always knew that you weren't right with God. You tried to hide from me. But he said, I saw it. And I took note of it. And be sure, I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." The sooner we acknowledge our sin before God and turn from it, humbly and sincerely turn from it to do His will and to glorify Him, the sooner we do that, the better off we will be. You remember that David tried to cover up his sin with Bathsheba from Israel, and he was successful in doing that. Israel didn't know what had happened, but God saw it. God went to the prophet. God told the prophet to go to David, say, "Look, I've seen it all. You are the man." He could not hide from God. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good." You know, the interesting thing about this is that it's not just on the things that are done that are evil and good. It's on the thoughts of our heart and the intentions of our heart that are either evil or good. God knows those. We are called upon to be pure in heart, pure in our thoughts. We're not even to think about those things that are evil. Somebody says, "Well, that's a whole lot easier said than done." I acknowledge that. But that's what God has called us to. Is that what you're striving for? Are you striving to put out even evil thoughts out of your mind? We tend to think about things that we see and that we are drawn to, and don't be drawn to those things. Detest those things. Turn away from them, and you'll find that it won't be long until you no longer even think on those things. But we can't hide from God. We deceive ourselves even when we think that we can hide from ourselves. But we know that we can't. And the sooner we acknowledge our weaknesses, our sins, and turn back to Him, the more of an abundant life we will realize here, and eternal life hereafter. King Saul, we cannot assume what God wants. You remember Saul, he had great victory, and he was waiting for Samuel to come so they could offer the sacrifice, and Samuel delayed his coming, and Saul came impatient, and he said, "I'll just do it myself. I don't need a priest to do this. I'll just do it myself." And about the time he's doing that's when Samuel shows up. "What are you doing? You don't have the authority to do this." Remember what he said? "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Well, Saul says, well, I just thought it'd be a good thing to get this sacrifice going here and honor God for the victory that we've had. You didn't have the authority to do that. There's no place in the Word of God that authorizes the king to offer a sacrifice. It's only the priest's place to do that. You stepped outside the authority of God's Word, King Saul. You have usurped the authority of God. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than these animal sacrifices that we've got here. God requires obedience, reverence for Him, humility before Him and for His Word. Well, you can go through the motions of doing what God says to do, but if you don't do it the way God says to do it, you're going to be held accountable. And Saul was held accountable. The lineage of the kings was going to be taken away from him and would be given to David. God does not have the same pleasure in the same things that man has pleasure in. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Well, don't you think that this would be a good thing to do? Don't you think that God would like it if we did this? God says, your ways are not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You need to humble yourself and do my will as I've expressed it to you in my word. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just do what I teach you to do. And when we assume that the good works that we come up with and the great ideas that we come up with are something that God would take pleasure in, we are deceiving ourselves. And when we say, well, this is what I think, and we share it with somebody else, yeah, I think that'd be a good work too. And sometimes we say, yeah, I think that'd be a good work too because I like you. And I don't think you would lead us astray. And it might be that you sincerely don't think that you're leading people astray. But if you're leading people away from God's word, you are. And you've deceived yourself as well as them. Humble ourselves before God, revere God, and keep His commandments. When one thinks a way is right when it is wrong, he deceives himself. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, God reveals, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. It's the way of death because it's the way of sin, and the wages of sin is death. It's a transgression of the law. It's not in line with the revelation of righteousness and truth. Acts 26 and verse 9, you remember that the apostle Paul said, I indeed myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There was a time in my life that I was denying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. I was saying he was an imposter, and anybody who claimed to be a follower of Jesus, I was putting to death or putting in prison. And I thought that was the right thing to do. But I was wrong. You know, we need to be humble like Paul and admit when we're wrong and do his will. When one attempts to reap where he has not sown, he deceives himself. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Because that's the way it is of the flesh, isn't it? Everything dies. Everything of the flesh, everything that is carnal, dies or decays, wears out, has an end to it. He that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now here's the, sometimes you hear, you don't hear it so much anymore about people sowing their wild oats, but I heard it when I was growing up. And of course, somebody came along and said, yeah, everybody sowed their wild oats and then they hoped they'd have a crop failure. But the problem is that if we sow to the flesh, we will reap of the flesh. We will reap corruption. We will reap right along with it. We will reap destruction and separation from God. There are many people who are sowing to the flesh but hoping to reap the things of the Spirit. Well, I know that I'm not doing what God says to do, and I know there are things in my life that need correction and I need to correct, but I just can't help myself. This is just the way I am. Newsflash, being a Christian is about changing the way you are to be the way Christ is. But people try to live in accordance to the flesh and sow or reap of the Spirit. I know I'm not what I should be, but I hope to go to heaven. You don't have a hope of heaven if that's your attitude. Our hope of heaven lies in doing the will of God, abiding in His Word, not living contrary to it. When we place our faith in tomorrow, we deceive ourselves. In James 4, a very familiar passage on this subject, verses 13 and 14 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and spend there for a year and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We can't boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. Can we plan what we're going to do tomorrow? Does this say we can't plan what we're going to do tomorrow? No. We can make plans for tomorrow, but we can't boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. The great things that we are going to do. If the Lord wills, we will do those things. And that's the way we want it, isn't it? We want to do the Lord's will every day of our life, every year of our life, every decade of our life. We want to live to the glory of God wherever He would use us and whatever He would have us to do. So this is talking about boasting in what you are going to do. I will boast in the things that God does in me through His Word and where He leads me and what He would have me to do. And so we deceive ourselves when we try to change God's Word or we try to minimize our sin or we think that we can hide from God. We think that our way is right, just as right as God's way is. We attempt to reap where we haven't sown. We hope to go to heaven in spite of our sin, instead of repenting of our sin and walking in the path of righteousness. When we say, well, I intend to repent tomorrow. I intend maybe to be a Christian next year, or next week, or tomorrow. We don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. As a world community or as an individual, we don't have any guarantee of tomorrow. Our life can be erased from this earth in a moment. So if we know that we're not right with God, if we know that we've been deceiving ourselves and into thinking that we're right with God, but God's word has convicted us and showed us that we need to repent, we need to return to Him, then we need to do that today while we have the opportunity, this very evening, in this very hour. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the point that you're ready to turn from your sin, to follow Him, to walk in a pathway of righteousness, you're ready to confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to abide in His Word from this day forward, then we'd encourage you today to come forward. Let us assist you in your obedience to Christ. And you'll rise to walk in newness of life to glorify Him from this day forward. If you're here today as a child of God, you know you're out of favor with Him. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another, that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you this evening in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?